Wednesday night crowds are not to nod to God crowds. I had a few people tell me, you better have been here tonight. I said, how could I miss? How could I miss? Yeah. You know, I think about, went into full-time ministry in October of 1977. And I don't know how many times I've missed a church service for whatever reason, but in all those years, 40 years, it's been minimal. I think I could probably count a Sunday on two hands in 40 years. And I've never, ever grown tired of going to church and being part of the church. Amen. And you function best when you're connected. And so that's, I had several people. I feel bad when I minister. I don't feel bad because I felt good for Tim. And, but I do believe that we coming together on a regular basis, there's something about a corporate anointing that when we come together, it seems like things just happen more effectually. And so, and everybody doing their part. It's not, and I had several people say, well, you know, Pastor, I can't be there every time. I'm not saying be there every time. I'm saying that you be there as much as you can. And your heart should be that way. And most of yours, you're not here. Wednesday night crowds are not to nod to God crowds. Because you get up and you work all day. And actually, what I do to prepare for this message is I sleep into 11. Get up, have lunch, go back and take a couple more hours nap. And how many of you know that's not true? That's not true. And I was up at 6 o'clock, a little bit before, but anyhow, it is dark then. And typically, I've been here since Sunday, so what my typical route is I, car just automatically goes by Starbucks. And I drive through Starbucks, they know my voice. And I get my coffee and then I drive out here and I park in the church parking lot and I watch the sun come up. And it just reminds me every day that the Son of Righteousness rises with healing in His wings. Amen? Amen. And one of the reasons I stayed here this week, I don't always stay till Wednesday, but I had a doctor's appointment. And some of you know, last time I gave a good report, the doctor looked at my numbers and said, Wes, you look like a normal guy. And I said, well, thanks for telling me I look normal. But they cut back my medication, and it's wonderful when that happens. And so I went in there this time, and the doctor looked at me and said, Wes, your numbers are incredible. And when I heard that, I said, thank you, Jesus. And they're even down and says, we're going to have to cut your medications back even a little bit more. And the last two times in there, they've cut my medication. I believe I am free of what he said. And you know, another thing that was really pretty cool, I was talking to Dr. Kersel, who is a blood specialist. He works in the oncology department, of course, but he's a blood specialist. But we sat there and talked about the Lord for 15 minutes. He's 34 years old, and we talked about Jesus, and he says, you know, I don't understand the spiritual part of being a Christian. He said, here's what he said, I love the words of Jesus. I looked at him. I said, well, that's a good place to start. And then he talked about the spiritual thing, because sometimes we don't understand a spiritual walk with the Lord. And so what we need to understand is that there comes a time when you got to bite something off by faith. You just literally take God at his word. You believe what he says. And this word is forever settled. Amen. So what a great moment that was, and I thank God every time I hear that. You look like a normal, blood work wise, your body's working good, and I like that. I like what God said in his word. He said, you have not because you ask not, and when we come to the Lord, the Bible says he watches, Jeremiah 1:12 says he watches over his word to perform it in our lives. Guys, I'm sorry, I don't mean to turn my back on you over there. I'll turn over and talk to you for a little bit. But anyhow, that's to me is when you talk about faithfulness and It's not something that you just are, it's breathed into you. It's something that you develop. And, so thank God for those times. And in this day and age, we really need to develop that. We really do. And, so thank you. I'm always blessed when people show up for whatever reason, when I get an opportunity to minister the Word of God to them. I don't think we know how valuable the Word of God is until we really need it. And what we need to do is really kind of prod ourselves to think we need the Word all the time, not just part of the time. Can you agree with that? There's too many sometimes people in the world, maybe believers, we should say this, and I'm not saying this critically, but we're more crisis-oriented in our faith. You know, we really don't get hooked up in faith until a crisis happens. And what God wants us to do is just stay consistent in the Word, consistent in our relationship with Him. And then when a problem comes, that's what's squeezed out of us, what we've been putting into us. And so it benefits us to do that. So it's, you squeeze out the things of God. And there is a spirit that operates in the world, and I'm not trying to get booga-booga on you, but it's called the Python spirit. And it really does operate in such a way that it comes in to try to just suck the life out of you. And so when we begin to walk in the Word of God, that's the way we resist that spirit. And I had somebody ask, I remember years ago I was in, as a high school student, I sang in the Presbyterian church choir. And the only reason I did it was because my girlfriend was in it. But you know, usually a girlfriend's a pretty good pull, pretty good, get you where you don't always want to be. But I remember we had a conversation one night after choir practice, and my third grade teacher, and I was a little bit older than that by then, but she was my third grade teacher, and we were talking about the devil, and we're sitting in a church setting in a choir, and she said, well, I don't believe there's a devil. And I'm just a rank sinner, and I think, I believe, because I mean, I'm acting like the devil. And it was amazing to me after I finally did come to the Lord that there's people sitting in churches that don't really believe there's an enemy like that. And he's and the greatest power that he has in our lives, if we give it to him, is the spirit of deception, getting us to believe that he doesn't exist, because he has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And we want to keep our guard up. Amen. So tonight I've kind of got a dichotomy of teaching. I mean, I'm going to talk about this being really, really a perilous time that we're living in, and I'm going to also talk about how Jesus wants us to just walk in His rest in the middle of inharmonious times. So let's pray, and we'll get started. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 pages of notes, and I'll probably get done by about 7:30 in the morning. Not sure. Father, we bless you. Thank you so much that we can call upon the teacher of the church. I call upon the Holy Spirit, that He rise up big within me and speak through my mind and think through my mind and speak through my lips as I call upon Him. And Lord, that you anoint each of our ears to hear accurately your word so that we could be instructed by the Holy One. And I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name for the fruit that comes out of this. And all agree with that said, amen and amen. Well, if you got your Bibles, you can turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and if you don't, you can read it up on the overhead there or the media shout. 2 Timothy 3:1, New King James says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Everybody say perilous times will come. Another word for perilous or difficult times will come. And the Word of God really does make it really clear that in the last days, the world, go figure, will be filled with difficulties. And as a pastor, and I've been doing this, like I said, since October of 1977, just finished up 40 years, and that's 4 decades. But when we first came into the full-time ministry, I remember we were reading scriptures like this, and it just didn't seem like the world was all that bad. It kind of sucked in some areas, but it wasn't too bad. And it just seems like since that time, over 4 decades, and it's amazing how that's happened, but it seems like things have deteriorated quite a bit. We expected that from third world countries, but you know what's happened is, it's been our country that's probably deteriorated. We probably have fallen the most of any other country percentage-wise, which to me is amazing, because we got the most word going forth. We probably got the best teaching going forth on airwaves that we've ever had, ever. And yet there's people that are spiritually malnutritioned. They don't know God. They just know of Him. They don't have a personal relationship with Him. And they don't want it for whatever reason. And to me, it's the spirit of this world, the enemy that's come to steal, kill, and destroy. He does not want you to have a true revelation of who you are in Christ. You get a hold of who you are in Christ, it will change your life forever. And so what's happening in the world today is something that we cannot really change unless we have what I would call the power of God in our lives. I do not believe, and getting ready to go into this, this could maybe depress some. It depends on where your faith is. But I do not believe God is done with our country. And if He is, I think He would let a lot of people know, beginning with really true prophets of God. Now, does this country need some radical change? Yes. But the radical change is going to come from Christians who are radically changed. And we just can't keep on living the life that we've been living. And I'm not saying this critically of anybody, but I think everybody here would honestly say, you know what? I could be a little bit more fervent in my walk. I could be a little bit more intentional in what I'm doing with God. I could think more on Him. I can think more on those things that are above. I can give myself to Him and service to Him more than I ever have. I still have time to make a difference. And that's kind of what God's wanted us to. So the Holy Spirit in this day and age, especially when the Apostle Paul was writing the book of Timothy, the Holy Spirit saw literally 2,000 years ahead and said, 2,000 years from now, here's what's going to happen in the last days. And almost everything he talks about is happening today. Say, well, it's not bad enough, Pastor West. I'm asked the several million people who were killed by COVID. Ask the several thousand people that were killed in 9-1-1 just for no reason other than hate. Ask people all over the world that we see starving, but we don't get the food into them. We just get it into the government, and the government sells it, makes a high profit, and they keep it and let their people starve to death. Ask the people who are just relentless in pursuing the death of babies in the womb. It has decreased some, thank God, but it hasn't decreased enough. Here's my opinion, and this is my political statement. I'm sticking with it. If you, as a political person, you're running for office and you're okay with babies being aborted, I will never vote for you. Amen. You can call yourself Christian, you can call yourself whatever you want, but I will never vote for you. Matter of fact, I will run against you. I'll send my money to somebody who would stand for life. Amen. And I think we need to be more that way. So, well, it's a woman's choice. Well, tell that to the baby. I know people get caught up in this culture and they'll end up doing stuff that they're sorry for. That's the good thing about grace. You can get forgiven and go on. Amen. I know people I love very dearly who have given themselves and had an abortion and they're sorely sorry they had one. But God forgives. He loves them, and that little baby's waiting for them in heaven. God is a good God. So the Holy Spirit points out what's going to happen at the end of this age. And, you know, there are different ages, and we come in, and it can, like, there could be the end of the week, it could be the end of the month, it could be the end of the year. But when the anointing of God is on Paul, he's talking about the final days here. He's talking about the end time when it's signed, sealed, and delivered. And he said, there's things happening and we need to know that. He said, listen to this, but know this. And the word know there is a pretty emphatic word. It's almost a command. You need to know this. That in the last days, times are going to be very difficult. It's going to be rough. And for me, I'm glad I know what I know. I'm glad I know Jesus. I'm glad I know what the Word of God says about walking with Him. Because I believe when you walk hand in hand with the Lord, you're walking on the pathway of victory, even in the midst of pretty difficult times. And I'm not, for one, I've never thought, you know, I've never thought this as a Christian. Well, I'm going to become a Christian, I'll never have another problem. Boy, was that untrue. You become a Christian and you become a target of the enemy. And he would so like to take you down. The last thing he wants is you living for God every day of your life. I talked with, I don't know if anybody has watched it, Evan Herman. He used to go to church here, grew up in their church. Evan was a weird duck in high school. He carried his Bible all the time and kids made fun of him, took it out of his hand, threw it on the ground. He's doing a podcast now and he invited me to be a guest on it last week. And I was on it, and I was so impressed with that young man. What he did was just amazing. I said, this is Evan. He said, Pastor, what I'm doing now is because of what you taught me. And I thought, wow, I don't know. I didn't think I taught you that well. And my mind, but I said, Evan, I said, one thing I do remember about you is that you're one of the few high school kids that when your heart was changed toward Jesus, you never backed off from it. He just stayed with it. We got another young lady just like that. Her name's Madison. They just continued to walk. We walk. I got a grandson. I got a couple of grandsons, Isaiah and Ethan and Tosiah. Those kids just stayed with the Lord, their walk with God. That's amazing, especially in peer levels that are a high rate in high school. And I'm not saying they were perfect. Don't get me wrong. I know Madison, you know, Trent had to get her up out of the gutter and help her. But all I'm saying is what God wants is us to know there's going to be tough times, but there's also going to be a way to deal with it. We all are going to go to heaven, but we want to go by our own choice. Amen. We do not want to go unexpectedly. We don't want the enemy to get a foothold on us, and we want to keep our foot on his neck. Can you say amen? So the Holy Spirit through Paul is saying, listen, you know this. You need to know this. You need to understand this, that these are perilous times. As a pastor, I'm telling you, these are perilous times. So that what that says to me is keep your heart right with God. If you feel like being bitter, unforgiving, take care of it. Keep yourself walking with God. And when you begin to walk in forgiveness, I'm telling you, you will see things happen that you didn't ever think could happen. So we know that when it's talking about the end times here, it's not just talking about a few days here and then going, it's talking about the very final days. And he wants us to be aware of it. So what if it doesn't happen? When I first came into the kingdom of God in 1973, I thought Jesus was coming back tomorrow. That's why we had people telling us that, and I believed them. And so then it becomes, the mantra becomes, mantra is a bad word for Christianity, but then the idea comes, is Jesus coming? Well, live every moment like he's coming in the next breath, but work like he's never coming, not coming for a long time. And the Bible says his soon appearing really is the anchor of our soul. It keeps us looking unto him. Is that making sense to you guys? So this stuff here, knowing that something is final, things are happening. That's why it's important. Like you see your kids. If your kids are like my kids, they need prayer. We all pray for our children. And why? Because we want them to come and grow up into the nurture and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that when they grow older, they'll not depart from that. There's something that we don't want to lose any of our children to the enemy. We want to fight for them, and we want to make sure that we're walking in the light. So this takes us right to the end of days when Paul's saying, this is the last days. Perilous times will come. Difficulties will come. Well, Lord, I just didn't think there'd be much problem when I finally become a Christian. Listen, you solved the problem that needed to be solved. You got right with God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And then the enemy does everything he can to keep you from going on with God. But he has no authority over you unless you give it to him. You know, and coming to the conclusion that that the devil doesn't exist is not a good move. And there's well-meaning people. Listen, I know people, well, I won't mention names, but I know people that I think they love God, but they think stupid. And I'm thinking, you can't think that way if you're reading this and asking the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to you. Because he is our teacher. And early on, and I think some of us need to realize, I remember asking God, because I'd have a question about something, and I would lay on this old green couch in our mobile home, and You ever heard of Mobley Home Furniture? It lasts about a year, maybe. And I laid on this couch, and I remember laying there several times. I said, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't understand this. I'm reading this. And first of all, I was reading King James Bible, which is all Greek to me. Like one guy said, the only Greek I knew was one guy that ran a restaurant down on First Avenue. That's a pretty bad joke, but I didn't understand Greek. And I didn't understand, the King James language and the poetic nature of it. And so it was hard. These and thous confused, they distracted me. But so I would read a scripture and I'd say, Lord, I don't understand that. And so I'd lay there. And then, honest to God, the Lord on the inside of him and say, here's what that means. And I'd go, wow. And I did that several times over the years as I was growing in the Lord. I remember one time I fasted and prayed for an answer to something. And after I got the answer, after 5 days of fasting and missing meals on Monday through Friday, I got done Friday and I got up. And right before I got up on the inside of me, the Lord gave me the answer. And I remember walking up the stairs. I was excited about hearing from God. And I said this within me. I said, Lord, I wouldn't have thought of that in a million years. And he said, that's why you're not God. He already knew the answer to that, but he wants us to seek him. The Bible says, seek the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And he's not hiding from you. Lord, sometimes we just need to lay down and say, Lord, what do I need to do to get out of this? Is there something that I can do to get out of this? Perilous times have come and we're going to deal with those. And we need to understand that those perilous times, listen to what those, the word that they use for perilous from the Greek is chalipos, is C-H-A-L-E-P-O-S. And it's used to describe ugly words when spoken that are hurtful and emotionally hard to bear. Words are probably the most destructive thing happening today in our society. Get on social media and you can find it pretty quick. And even out in a one-on-one conversation with a lot of people, sometimes words can just become full of the flame of hate. And so we got to be careful. And it's also used in literature, and I didn't know this, but when you read in some books, to depict wild, vicious, uncontrollable animals that are unpredictable and dangerous with. And it also carries the idea of an action, place, person, or thing that is harsh, harmful, and filled with high risk. And that's the very word that's used in Matthew 8:28, talking about the two men, the two demon-possessed men, and Jesus talking in Matthew 8:28, says this, when Jesus had come to the other side, to the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs exceedingly fierce. And that's the word used in 1 Timothy 3, perilous times. These men are hateful, unpredictable, and they would kill you in a heartbeat. And if you lived in that region, you wanted to make sure that you stayed away from them. Those two demon-possessed men literally wreaked and stirred up fear in that region. And the enemy loves to do that. That's why a lot of times when we're battling things in our society or our culture, if you will, it's all fueled by fear. And I'm not saying COVID doesn't exist. I'm just saying most of what's happening has been fueled by fear. And I think we ought to resist it. I just found out today that my daughter in Arizona and her husband are fighting COVID now. And I got her on the phone and I prayed with her and believed God with her. And I said to her, isn't it great to be alive this time of our life? And she said, yeah. I said, this is great because God called us here for a reason. We're here for, you are a special people. You've been raised up to live in some of the most difficult times ever. It's not the right time to say, thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you, Lord, for equipping me to be here. And so all the equipping that we've been doing over a period of a lifetime is a good thing. And if you haven't been equipping yourself, then do so, because you're going to need that kind of spiritual strength to walk in the way of God. When Jesus had come to the other side to the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs exceedingly fierce. They were unpredictable, so that no one could pass that way. And exceedingly fierce is that same word, chalipos. meaning these two men were like wild, vicious, and uncontrollable animals, completely unpredictable and dangerous. Anybody here ever trap animals? I had a friend in high school, his name is Norman. Norman's a good believer now. It's always amazing who comes to the Lord after we get out of high school, because we're all sinners there. And had very few Christians in our school that we may have had Christians, but they didn't really stand up for their faith. But Norman loved to trap. And one day he asked me if I wanted to go check traps with him. I said, yeah. And so we went right south of Lakin. There's the Arkansas flows just south of Lakin, about half a mile. And it's used now, the past years, it's just been dry. It flows underground. So much water is being used to water the sand hills for irrigation. And anyhow, we got out there, and he went over to where the trap was, and he had caught a bobcat. And that bobcat was not happy. And I got out of the car, and I heard that bobcat. I could see it jumping, trying to pull it, and it was biting its leg, trying to bite its leg off, its paw off, to get free from that trap. And, I mean, the sound coming out of that bobcat, I just looked at Norman and says, I'll be in the car. And, you know, if that thing would have got loose, it would have gone after him. It wouldn't have cared. It's just unpredictable. But he just happened to have a nice gun in his hand and shot him, put him out of his misery. But I'm thinking, that's the way wild animals are. If you irritate them enough, they will come at you. And that's why sometimes people look at a nice mother and cub bear, and they think, isn't that cute? And you get too close to that cub, and that mother bear turns into a terror and will do you some damage. So we're designed, you and I are designed to live in these days. I've heard people say, I wish I was living back when Jesus walked on the face of the earth. Well, the best time for you to be living is the time that God has you living. You're not going to go back there. You're going to go back here. That's just like when I used to teasingly tell people that when God sent me to Hayes, he sent me here. I said, Lord, I'd like to go someplace that at least had two trees. And I came from southwest Kansas, which had little to no trees. Then I came to Hayes, and Hayes looked like a forest. And after you start living here, you drive a little bit east, and you start seeing a lot of trees. And some people say, why do you think God sent you to Hayes? I said, well, sometimes people just tick him off, and he sends them to Hayes. Never been sorry for being sent here. Never been. I wish I could have gone somewhere else. I love being here. And I'm going to not like so much leaving, but I do love being here. I love where God's called. If you don't love where God's called you, you're a frustrated person. Amen. So we're designed to be here. And the Lord's in charge of your life. He's in charge of our lives as long as we will yield ourselves to him. And these days are filled with greater risk. We've all been touched by the stupid COVID in some way or other. And thank God we're still breathing. Thank God we're still going. You know, Rhonda had a bout with COVID. And Jan had she's not here tonight, but she had a bout with COVID. She said, I felt like I'm going to die. And that's not a good feeling. If you're going to die, die feeling good. There's nowhere in the Bible says you have to feel bad to die. Even in the Old Testament, some of those Old Testament saints or men of God, you know, the Bible said they would pronounce a blessing over the children, pull their feet up into bed, and lay back and check out. What a great way to go. See, my thinking is, I tell my kids to get them all at bedside, and I'm there, and just Mr. Wonderful Dad, and I'm looking at the guys. I said, all the bills are yours now. Bye. So these days are filled with greater risk, and the Word of God is something that we need to pursue. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we have to keep our minds renewed. What the world says is happening is not how God wants it to happen. And so God puts, and there are, I mean, the world has a track it's on, but it's a track of destruction. God's pathway is a pathway of righteousness, and he wants us to fight the good fight of faith. Can you say amen to that? So renew your minds with the Word of God, and get God's perspective about what's going on. Let's be a blessing and stay fear-free. Fight the spirit of fear. keep yourself in faith. Look into what the truth of God's word. Here's a couple of questions for you. Now I got a couple other things I want to share for before you leave. Are you heeding the warning of the Holy Spirit that these are perilous times? And do you feel qualified enough to minister to somebody who maybe isn't at your level of faith? Can you pray for them and help them? I went into a store the other day and talked to a friend and said, how you doing? I said, I'm doing good. I said, just kind of been depressed. I said, that's why I came in. I came in to pick you up, tell you the good news. So by the time we got there, he was smiling, laughing, and having a good time. And listen, we can touch people's lives just because of who we know. Mm-hmm. And who knows us. And what a great deal. So do you feel overcome with fear or filled with faith as you contemplate what it will take to face the special challenges of our generation? I don't know. Some of you are parents of young children. And I believe this, and you begin to teach stuff like this, and if it's not taught right, then you can frighten children. But I do believe, and as a matter of fact, I think it was at Madison and your and Trent's wedding where I had a word for you that you would see your children grow up and that you would produce offspring. And so that means we have several more years, and I'm not saying I know everything, but I just don't think God is through with this. I think the United States has more time than we think it does, but that still doesn't give us a reason to pull back. That's part of the problem with the body of Christ. We have it so good here. You know, even like it is now, we still have it better than any place on earth. But we have really, rather than really propagated the message of the gospel throughout the world, we've kind of just kind of brought things unto ourselves. But I believe God wants us to become channels of his revenue, be stewards of what he's given us so that we can reach a lost, dying world that doesn't know God. And that we can, by the grace of God, introduce them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Dear brothers, let's look at James 1, verses 2 through 4. Dear brothers and sisters, when trouble comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. This is, again, Paul writing, when trouble comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Sometimes I think these guys writing the Bible never lived today. They lived in pretty difficult times. So, let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, verse 3, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Now, I was going to read this to you, but considering like 2 Timothy 3:1 and talking about the word that talks about hurtful words and wild, unpredictable, animalistic type attitude, not just in animals, but in people. But you could almost read that verse of scripture like this. Dangerous, harmful, high risk periods of time have already arrived. They're here. Amen. But so are we. And so I wanted to read you three passages of scripture that will encourage you, because you read that perilous time, say, oh, God, I got to go home tonight and think about that. No, you don't. What you need to think about is your relationship with God and how that in him you can do all things. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me, even in the middle of inharmonious circumstances. And I'll read that scripture to you out of the Amplified in Ecclesiastes. This scripture, passage of scripture, is out of the Passion translations, Hebrews 4, verses 1 through 11. So I'm just going to read it. I've got it written out, but just listen. Now, the promise of entering into God's rest is still for us today. So we must be extremely careful to ensure that we all embrace the fullness of that promise and not fail to experience it. For we have heard the good news of deliverance just as they did, yet they didn't join their faith with the word. Instead, what they heard didn't affect them deeply, for they doubted. You got to hear the word to the point where you really don't doubt God. And if that takes you hearing it over and over and over again, do what you need to do to build your faith. For those of us who believe, faith activates the promise and we experience the realm of confident rest. For he has said, I was grieved with them and made a solemn oath. They will not enter into my rest. Unbelief does not get you into the rest of God. God's works have all been completed from the foundation of the world. For it says in the scriptures, and on the seventh day God rested from all his works. And again, as stated before, they will not enter into my rest. Those who first heard the good news of deliverance failed to enter into that realm of faith rest because of their unbelieving hearts. You know, one of the best things you can say in your moments of trial, say, Lord, I believe you. I believe you're making a way out where there seems to be no way. Yet the fact remains that we still have the opportunity to enter into the faith rest life and experience the fulfillment of the promise. For God still has ordained a day for us to enter into called today. For it was long afterwards that God repeated it in David's words, if only today you would listen to his voice and do not harden your hearts. Now, if this promise of rest was fulfilled when Joshua brought the people into the land, God wouldn't have spoken later of another rest yet to come. So we conclude that there is still a full and complete Sabbath rest waiting for believers to experience. As we enter the God faith rest life, we cease from our own works, just as God celebrates his finished works and rests in them. So then we must be eager to experience this faith rest life so that no one falls short by following the same pattern of doubt and unbelief. Simple statement. Doubt and unbelief causes you to be an unrestful person. And it happens in your soulish realm. And so when you hook up to Jesus, Jesus and the Word are one and the same. So when we start looking into the Lord, the Word, then that will envelop us with peaceful, mindful thoughts. Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 through 14 out of the Amplified. All has been heard. The end of the matter is, fear God, revere and worship Him, knowing that He is and His commandments, for this is the whole of man, the full original purpose of His creation, the object of God's providence, the root of character, the foundation of all happiness, the adjustment to all inharmonious circumstances and conditions under the sun. I love this word scripture in the Amplified. The adjustment to all inharmonious circumstances and conditions under the sun. We have a lot of inharmonious circumstances going on in our world today. Not just the United States, not just Hayes. The world, condition, understanding, and the whole duty for every man, for God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it is good or evil. That's why we just keep our hearts right before God. Amen? Okay, now, again, Apostle Paul saying, the last days will be perilous. They'll be very difficult. And I think he could almost go on and say it for those who don't believe. Because they will have no hope. And you and I at least know that Jesus Christ is our hope. Amen. Listen to what Jesus himself says in Matthew 11. And many of you are familiar with this scripture. Then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. This is where we have the problem from the neck up. This is where all the challenges take place in our life, in our thought process. And it goes on to say, Jesus saying this, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. When it talks about all you that labor and are heavy laden, it's kind of a metaphor that appears to be taken from a man who has a great load laid upon him, which he must carry to a certain place, and every step he takes reduces his strength. I've talked to people that told me they come to a point in their life where it felt like I just couldn't take another step. And that's the very moment Jesus is talking about. Come to him. It seems kind of weird that with a load already that we're burdened down with, that Jesus would say, come, yoke yourself up with me. That's just what I need, Lord, is a little bit more to pull. But what he's saying is, if you'll come yoke together with me, not only will I carry you, but I will carry your load. You say, well, I'm not sure I know how that works. Well, I think it's worth finding out. If you think you don't know what carrying the load means, think about what it's doing to your thought processes. The Bible says God will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. So the battle really is in the mind. And so we begin to walk this life, and Jesus said, you come to me. So he comes, and we're using our labors. We get, and I believe we're supposed to work hard. I believe we are to have the work ethic. But I'm telling you, when you allow things, the emotions, the emotional trauma of the day to begin to rule and reign in your emotions, then you say, Lord, I don't want this. I'm casting the care of this thing over on you, and then leave it there. Because the Bible says he really does mean to come in and pick you up and even carry the load that you're carrying. That's pretty awesome. Amen. I picked up one of my grandsons the other day. His name is Louis, with Debbie's side of the Waltons. But Louis comes up to me, and he's 4 years old, and he's a chunk. I mean, he's not fat or anything, but he's just muscular in his ways. He's a pretty good chunk. He walks up and says, Grandpa, will you carry me? And we're out shopping. I said, Louis. And I picked him up, and I was looking at him. He was having the best time, and I was thinking, I cannot wait to put him down. I was in Shields. Sporting good. You can walk forever in a Shields sporting good place. And that's what Louis was thinking. Now, if I could get somebody that has no sense to carry me, well, that would have been, he came right to me. So we at times, now let's say Jesus has come and helped us. He's helped us carry our load, and not only us, but our load. Then that frees us up to help somebody else carry their load. And they can look at you and say, why are you doing this? Well, because the Lord has carried me from time to time, and I just want to demonstrate his love to you. And I think that's an awesome way to live. When Jesus is saying, come unto me, you are weary. You're just overburdened with just the cares of the day. He's talking to sinners. To me, when you talk about sinners, it's not somebody that's smoking, drinking, and chasing wild women that do. Sinners are people who have not yet made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. You say, well, why does Jesus call them sinners? I don't know. You ask him that when you get there, but I'm just saying the only sin that we're going to be held accountable for when we go to heaven is whether or not we accepted Jesus or we rejected him. Our rejection of him really leads to other sin here on this earth. Does that make sense? But sinners can come to him, wearied in the ways of iniquity, and they're invited to come to Christ and find speedy relief. I don't know about you, but I was thrilled when I found out God would forgive me. You say, why? Because I had a lot to forgive. But I didn't know the only sin I was going to be judged for was not believing on him. But boy, when I made him Lord, things changed. Penitents, those who are feeling regretful pain or sorrow for sins or offenses they've committed. The Lord doesn't intend that you carry those. You think you're a good person? Well, I just need to hold on. That makes me feel bad. And I know the Lord knows if I feel bad, then he'll. No, the Lord doesn't even want you to feel bad. He wants you to have godly sorrow so you can repent and go on with him. Amen. And then believers. Believers who are sorely tempted and impressed by the remains of the carnal mind. See, the mind again is sometimes the challenge. That the carnal mind may come to this blood, the blood of Christ, that cleanses from all unrighteousness and purifies from all sin, and powerfully aids us to find relief in every temptation. Everyone. Everybody say everyone. Everybody is promised rest if they'll just come to the promise, capital P. Everybody. Don't care what you've done. Don't care where you're walking. All are invited to come, and you will find peace and rest in him. That's a promise of God. Take God's yoke upon you. Why? Because he will help carry you, and not only you, but the load you're carrying. Yeah, but I want people to know that I'm really bothered by this. So I'm going to... No, the Lord doesn't want you bothered by your shortcomings. Amen. So, I'll finish with this scripture. You guys have heard me read this before. Matthew 11, 28 through 30 in the Message. I love this. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on going to church? Burned out on religion. Religion is works, not faith, typically. Come to me, Jesus says. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. That's a promise. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. You will begin to experience the joy of the Lord. Watch how Jesus does it. You never read one time in here where Jesus says, you know, I was kind of worried about that. No, but what you do find Jesus saying is, cast all your care upon me because I care for you. Yeah, but Lord, I want you, listen, you can't straighten it out yourself. That's why you needed a Savior. That's why we still need a Savior every day. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I'm more excited about these days we're living in than I was when I first got started. And it is different. It's a different culture. Different, just different. That's why you and I need the body. We need each other. The body of Christ, we need to stay attached. Staying connected is an important thing. Amen. Hallelujah. I know, well, I won't get into that. It'll take a little bit too long, but just make sure that you cast your care upon the Lord. And if you're not living a perfect life, cast the care of that imperfection upon the Lord, because he'll even help you with the imperfections. And you know, God willing, you could end up like me. There's some things like me you could be like. There's some things you said, well, I'll hold off on that. And that would be a wise decision. But I do know this. When you start walking with the Lord and finding out who you are in him, you begin to feel so much better about life. You feel good because you're not performance oriented. You're not trying to please someone that can't be pleased. Did you know humankind, for the most part, because of their nature, almost were impossible to please? Well, if they would just do this, I would be happy with them. And they do that, and the next thing you know, you find something else not to be happy about. So we have to really be somewhat mindful that the one that I want to please the most, because the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please him. So whatever we can, begin to develop our faith so that we can please him. We tap into more of his promise, his realized promise. Amen. Father, I bless these people. I thank you for your goodness in their life. And I'm asking you, sir, that the peace of God tangibly would surround and keep each household represented here. And where there's been challenges that seem like they're hard and maybe will never be overcome, that this week some will definitely be overcome and they'll be shouting joy all over the place. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Lord, I believe that the enemy is indeed a liar. He is, just like your word says, the father of them, and that you are the truth. And so we choose to walk in that truth that you reveal to us by the Holy Spirit. And we give you honor. We give you praise in that name, which is above every name, the name Jesus. And all agree with that said. Amen and amen. Well, thank you for coming. We will not see you Sunday. Brandon will be here. So call your friends. Brandon's got a good message.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.